This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. Questions coming to us via radio program at AOL.com. That's where you can email your questions, and we appreciate all your inquiries. Do our best to field them. So what's next, Layla?
We have an email from Larry. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, now that I'm on metformin, does it make sense to continue with blood sugar support supplements like chromium, cinnamon, bitter melon, benfotiamine? I'm currently on a low-carb diet and losing weight.
Yay!
Well, the answer is that metformin synergizes nicely with those other things.
Absolutely.
So it's not an all
nothing
thing.
And we have patients on metformin and taking these blood sugar support.
And they're very compatible.
Yes.
And it doesn't, I mean, God forbid, it could lower blood sugar too radically, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It just normalizes your blood pressure.
Right.
So
right.
Metformin is a modestly effective drug.
Right.
I mean, it's an old drug, so, I mean, really, if it was all that effective, they wouldn't have bothered to invent other more powerful diabetes medications mm-hmm. to lower blood sugar. It's only somewhat helpful at optimizing blood sugar.
Yeah.
It's one of the few drugs that I'm okay with because
yeah.
I think it has beneficial effects overall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe anti-aging effects, anti-cancer effects.
Anti-aging, anti-cancer, that's reason enough for more people to
yeah.
consider it.
We
it's almost
some,
like an off-label
some of our
use.
Non-diabetic patients, mm-hmm. we give metformin for mm-hmm. some degree of appetite control.
Yeah.
You know.
PCOS for
PCOS,
women with
absolutely.
Polycystic
and
ovaries.
There, it helps to improve fertility and reduce hirsutism and acne.
Right.
Because there's an impact on blood sugar, and then therefore it influences hormones.
Yeah. We're seeing more and more cancer patients on metformin to prevent recurrence. This
yep.
is very encouraging.
We use it. Okay, so the other thing you got to remember is when you use metformin,
yeah.
make sure you have a source of B12.
Yes.
Because...
And maybe folate, too.
There's a medication interaction.
Yes, and it tends to deplete.
A drug nutrient interaction.
Depletes
B12. Yep.
And we've seen this firsthand.
Yes, we've seen that
in our patients.
Somebody
who had a terrific B12 has been in metformin for a while, and it dropped down to like 218.
And he wasn't even a vegetarian.
No, not
yeah,
at all.
He was getting B12 in his diet.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we need to amp up the B12.
Right.
Definitely on metformin.
We fix that. His B12 is normal now.
Yeah. So Larry, continue taking your chromium, bitter melon, benfotiamine is good. Take some B12. The cinnamon is fine. And take your metformin and stay on that low-carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
And all will be good.
Berberine.
Berberine.
CM Core. Yeah.
Berberine. It's almost like the natural metformin.
Yeah.
But a little different.
CM Core is the orthomolecular product.
Yes.
And you can order it on FullScript.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Larry, and best of luck.
Okay. By the way, just as parenthetically, the way to get to FullScript is at drhoffman.com, there's a store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you there's a... There's a drop-down menu from store, and it prompts you to sign up for FullScript with no obligation. You can just sign up. There's scores of people just went there and looked. You know, like, you know, I'll look at what's on sale at Bloomingdale's. You know, but I don't buy anything ever.
Right. Right.
It's a little retail therapy.
Yeah.
So you know, you go there and you can see if mm-hmm. any of the supplements that we talk about, if you want to access them, you can get them there.
Okay. We've got an email from Rob. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I want to thank you for all your information that you've provided to me over the years. I used to listen to you talk on the radio religiously. In fact, I recall one segment when you stated you injured yourself by falling off your bike and fracturing your hip.
Yep.
I also remember you saying you would be increasing your vitamin D intake. So you even knew about that vitamin and that it's been used long before the rest of the medical world.
Yep.
I know you're a busy doctor.
You're ahead of the curve on that. Yeah. Yep.
I know you're a busy doctor, so I will ask your expert opinion. I'm a 55-year-old male in good physical condition. Please provide a supplement to promote a healthy prostate. I've had no problems in that regard, but as I get older, I want to educate myself.
Okay.
And begin taking a supplement.
Unfortunately, there's a lot to that. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, traditionally they'll say, you know, salt palmetto and stinging nettles are, you know, in a lot of formulas for the prostate, along with pumpkin seed.
Yes, and, pumpkin seed oil.
You know, maybe Pygium africanus. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the standard prostate formula. And there's some evidence that those phytosterols actually protect the prostate from enlargement.
Yeah.
And they act as 5-alpha reductase inhibitors, kind of like the medications that like Proscar, and Avodart, that are designed to shrink the prostate and keep the prostate from enlarging. That's the BPH,
right?
Benign prostatic hypertrophy, which all men get to some extent. You know, we don't have breasts and a uterus, but we have a prostate, you know, so it's kind of like even Steven, you know, stuff to worry about, you know.
Equality.
Right. You
know, we want equality.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we could argue who has it worse. I've been taking, I think the best way to work that is not to wait till you have a very enlarged prostate.
Yeah.
Probably those are too weak to shrink a prostate dramatically. I personally been using some sort of salt palmetto formula for at least since I was 40. And
terrific. Over 25 years.
And at 67, it's kind of unusual to have an okay prostate. You know, so thank goodness.
Proactive.
You know.
That's
TMI, you know, I'm sharing.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But, you know, there's such a high prevalence of, urinary frequency, ejaculatory problems, you know, all manner of stuff that happens to men as they age.
Right, right.
And so it's warranted to prevent that. Now, other things that protect the prostate, I would say curcumin, EGCG from green tea, adequate levels of vitamin D.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all of that. A good, healthy diet. If you find urinary frequency to be a problem, I would encourage anyone who's a big coffee drinker just to stop and see if that changes your quality of life. That would be the first thing.
Even decaf, because it's a bladder irritant.
A little bit. It can be an irritant, exactly. Yeah. So that feeling of gotta go.
Yeah.
It could be life-altering just to stop.
Oh, yeah.
And see what happens.
Yep.
And if it didn't help you, then you're going to do something else.
Unfortunately, I guzzle decaf.
But for most people, believe it or not, really something, and I find that a lot among women too.
Right, but so. it's an equal opportunity offender in terms of bladder urgency.
So that's a good place to start, Rob. And it's great that you're being proactive. He's a 55-year-old male in good physical condition. He retired.
Oh, to be 55 again.
Yeah. He retired at age 47 from the police force in New Jersey.
Okay.
He has a blood pressure of 130 over 70.
Excellent.
That's not bad.
You know, actually, some of our most health conscious people are retired cops.
Yeah.
And because of the rigors of working as a cop, you can take an early retirement and, you know, you save some money, you get a decent pension, and you can lead a really healthy lifestyle.
You can.
Yeah.
You can.
Maybe pick up an odd job here and there, like a security job or something like that.
That or a second career if you wish it.
Yeah.
He weight trains 4 to 5 times a week.
There
he does HIIT, high intensity interval training 3 times a week.
Awesome.
This is great.
Yeah.
No history of cardiovascular disease.
All right. Which actually,
wonderful,
unfortunately, is rampant in the uniformed services because of the poor lifestyle, eating on a run, you know, shift work, and also a little bit the culture. You know,
right.
The culture is like a...
Ren, that stereotype of the police officer eating
culture.
A donut.
Yeah, the machismo, right, you know.
Right.
You know, what's a precinct without a box of donuts and a coffee urn,
right.
You know?
He has some degenerative disc disease.
Some empty pizza boxes.
Yeah. From years of powerlifting and weightlifting, he has some degenerative disc disease.
Gotta take it easy.
Yeah. Or hang upside down.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know. Rob, best of luck to you. That's great. Okay. This may be a good time to pause for a word from our sponsor.
Thank you. You did that very well. I think you may take over that particular role. Okay. Listen up. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. You take it away, Layla.
Okay, we've got an email from Havila. Havila writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I've discovered your podcast a year ago, and I really enjoy a lot of what I hear from you guys from an integrated health perspective. Thank you so much." Thank you for listening. My question is, what is a healthy dose of iodine for a person with a family history of thyroid dysfunction and frequent exposure to halogens?
Oof, this super controversial.
And what do doctors mean by low and slow?
Lynn Farrow has written the definitive book on iodine. And, you know, it's very controversial because there are a lot of proponents of high supplementation with iodine.
Which is a Dr. Brownstein?
Yep, Dr. Okay. Brownstein.
Okay.
Who I haven't heard from lately in a while on this subject, but, you know, the last 5 years ago or so, he was advocating very high dose iodine. Iodine deficiency is real. Iodine is very therapeutic for certain things. Like, it's amazing for fibrocystic breasts, painful, lumpy breasts.
Yep.
Oh, it is very therapeutic. It also is, we use it for women who've had breast cancer because the breast tissue
breast
really is avid for iodine. Same thing with the thyroid. However, too much iodine can suppress the thyroid.
Right.
It's kind of pretty well established.
So, Havila has been taking a kelp supplement, about 270 micrograms of iodine.
That should be fine. That should be fine.
And she feels really good.
Okay, fine. So, the supplementation sometimes is with 7.5, you know, 15.
That's milligrams. That's a
milligrams.
Big dose.
So, that compared
to her 270
she's taking
micrograms.
275. So 1,000 micrograms is a milligram. And so some of these supplements are like 7,500 micrograms, which is many, 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 many times what she's taking. That's a safe amount to take, and that's fine.
She's had a TSH of 4.
Which is a little borderline.
Which is a little borderline. She has a family history of it. Her mother, father, a sister, all of that.
You have to make a judgment call when it's 4.
Yeah.
You know, if the patient is exhibiting symptoms of hypothyroidism, like a lethargy, dry skin, you know.
Trouble falling asleep, some
trouble getting up,
low-grade headaches, 9 or 10 hours of sleep is not enough, all of that. So this 270 microgram.
Menstrual irregularities, you know, heavy menstrual bleeding, any number of those things.
This dose is helping her. I would say stay with this dose and
watch your TSH.
Watch your TSH. Get tested again when, Dr. Hoffman?
Every 6 months.
Months or so.
And at a certain point, you know, if you don't, I mean, most people kind of hit the skids when their TSH goes up. You know, we do pay attention to the TSH, but we sometimes prescribe thyroid very successfully. We just had a patient who came in, you know, and her TSH was borderline normal. It was like 5. We started on thyroid, finally, I mean, she's up to like 90, no, 105 now, 105 milligrams of Armour thyroid. And it's really helping her. What was frustrating at first is like, I don't feel any better. I said, well, let's go up. We have the TSH wasn't very low. And, you know, so we use the TSH to gauge as to how much you may reasonably require thyroid.
Right. And
but sometimes TSH is a little high like this and we let it go.
Yeah.
Especially in older patients.
Right, right. Well, you'd have to be careful with thyroid replacement. And so much thyroid replacement in mainstream medicine is Synthroid.
Right.
More than, it's not
it's Synthroid, thyroid. And there's, it's like a rather arbitrary thing. It's like we wait till your TSH hits, you know, very high, like 6-7.
Right.
Then we do something.
Mm. Okay. So, Havila, thank you very much for your question. Take your iodine supplement. That's a supplement is a good idea.
What are the things that support the thyroid? I mean, selenium.
Selenium, zinc.
Zinc, and also tyrosine.
Tyrosine is helpful. Eat a good, high biological value protein diet.
Don't drink kale shakes, please.
No, don't drink kale smoothies.
Because there's a...
A lot of people are getting too much and they're
wondering...
Don't
guzzle soy milk, you know.
Don't guzzle soy milk and don't drink a lot of cabbage juice and all of that.
That can suppress your thyroid.
Right, right. Avoid those goitrogens. Oh, another big goitrogen is millet.
Oh, I didn't
know. Not a lot of people know millet, which is a gluten-free grain.
Mm-hmm.
But for those gluten-free enthusiasts...
I used to eat a lot of millet when I was macrobiotic. Many years ago, like 25 years.
You got a little bored with brown rice and you moved on to millet.
Bored with brown rice, yeah. You know, it's like
brown rice and sauerkraut.
Right.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I was eating a seitan. That's pure wheat gluten.
Oh, my. That's gluten.
Pure gluten.
That's gluten, right. We have an email from Michael. Greetings, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. If one takes large doses of melatonin, would it, quote, tell the body to stop producing it naturally? Will it downregulate the pineal gland's production?
Well, that's an interesting question. And, you know, the reasons to take a lot of melatonin would be for cancer. There's actually some rationale for using it in
20
cancer.
20 milligrams.
20 milligrams, 40 milligrams some people are using. And one would think that that might change the body's production of melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the problem? You're taking so much outside melatonin that maybe you don't need, you know, your own endogenous production of melatonin.
True. I've never heard of anyone stopping melatonin and suddenly become insomniac or anything like that.
The other thing that's surprising is while some people are sensitive to melatonin, they feel a little spacey, a little drowsy, but
melatonin hangover.
Yeah, but also they get weird dreams sometimes with melatonin. But you know, what's interesting is for sleep purposes, we can use 1, 2, 3, maybe at most 5 to help with sleep. And beyond that, it doesn't do much more.
Yeah.
The people who take really high doses, 20, even 40, they're not tired all the time.
They're not.
They're not exhausted.
And you know what? Those people are not experiencing melatonin hangover.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like a U-shaped thing, reaction or something. But here's the thing. There is a proper time to take melatonin. You don't want to take it when you're up at 2 a.m. and you can't fall back asleep.
Right, because it'll set your time.
You are almost guaranteed to have a melatonin hangover.
It's, yeah.
I tried that. Oh, boy. I felt like a lumbering elephant.
Yes.
I felt like I was moving through the ether on my way to work the following
morning.
What
it told you was that your sleep time was reset to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So you, to in order to get your normal sleep, like 8 hours, it was by 10 a.m. That you, you know, that you felt awake.
Exactly.
So you reset your time clock.
Right.
So what do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night? That's a tough thing.
Oh, take some L-theanine.
Okay.
Take a couple of L-theanine if you can't go back to sleep.
Some people like Glycom.
Glycom is good. Take Glycom at bedtime.
Glycine.
It's called Glycom.
Yeah.
And it's that amino acid glycine helps to keep core temperature lower.
For some people. That works.
Stay sleeping.
Yep. Some people love that. It really works.
Oh, that's true. It's true. The time to take melatonin.
CBD?
The time to take melatonin is at bedtime, not in the middle of the night.
Right.
CBD is helpful.
Yeah. CBD can, you know, for some people they're sensitive, they could feel a little funny in the morning, but it's, I don't find CBD that sedating. I now take my CBD at bedtime, and you know, I slept well before, and I slept really well with it now. And, I think what it did for me recently, I experimented. I was taking it. I took a trip to California, a really quick trip for my high school reunion, and actually, I was feeling a little tired. I was, so before that, I was thinking like, oh, I hope I'm not coming down because it really would suck to be sick for my high school reunion.
Yeah.
So, you know, I took a lot of, you know, natural things, vitamin C and maitake mushroom extract and all these things, you know, to help support my immune system. But being there, it was just so exciting to be with those people. I could have like partied all night. But I said, you know, in order to get through this, several days of, you know, hanging out with these old friends, I've got to make sure, even though I'm in a weird time zone, you know, because California's earlier and the temptation is to stay up like till their time. And like midnight there is like 3 o'clock here.
Right.
I said, Mimi, I'm going to make myself sleep. So I took my CBD religiously. And I'm not even sure I took melatonin, but I did take melatonin because I wanted to reset my time clock. And it worked out really well. Even though I was pretty wired, you know, from the excitement of being there, I came back. I did not come down with anything. I'm usually, you know, going on a trip, you know, feeling so well, you know, sore throat, you know. I powered through that, even though there was some element of travel and stress and dislocation. Yeah. And, of course, alcohol.
Right.
And I tried to keep that to a minimum, too.
Sure.
That's the other thing that's a big
sleep
robber.
That's the robber of sleep.
There was plenty to drink.
Yeah.
And some people were, you know, I would be talking to some people and I go, this person is really drunk. And I'll just kind of like cheerfully nodded and clinked glasses with them of my club soda, you know.
Right.
You know what I said? But, you know.
The effects of alcohol, especially as we get older, it really robs sleep. It can just really rob sleep. I take reacted magnesium faithfully every evening.
That too.
Every evening. I don't have sleep problems. However, if I take that reacted magnesium too soon after dinner, I want to go to bed at 8 o'clock, and I don't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock.
Really?
But I could just crawl in and have the most delicious sleep.
You're sensitive.
But then I'll be up at 3.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the other thing. You know,
so I wait until after 9 p.m. to take it, and then I have delicious sleep.
This is the bane of the elderly. Not that we're elderly, because we have jobs and we work in the daytime. But there's some people, they're retired.
Yeah.
And what happens is they're sitting around, and it's like, oh, it's time to take a little nap. Or like... You know, I'm watching like, you know, the cable news.
Right,
I'm sitting on the sofa and it's like, and
or I'm binge watching some other.
And then they complain that they have insomnia.
Yes.
But what they should do is they should say, okay, let me, it's 8 o'clock. I'm really bored. Oh, I got to do something. Let me rearrange my sock drawer or something like that.
Go out and take a walk.
You know, or because just to create that circadian rhythm, to maintain a circadian rhythm that is a steady rhythm.
This is very important for a lot of people. A lot of people will take a nap in the afternoon, but 1 hour of sleep, an hour and a half of sleep is not a nap. That is one complete sleep cycle. That should be devoted to overnight. You want to take a nap of 20, not more than 30 minutes. Set an alarm if you must, and if you're still sleepy, stand up. Just stand up. Go to the kitchen. Go do something. Go outside.
I occasionally take naps. You know, it was like a really rainy, gloomy day.
Oh, sure.
And I finished work early the other day. And I got home, and it was like, oh, so nice. You know.
Yeah.
And I made sure that I sat in kind of an uncomfortable chair. You know, which precluded like a deep.
Right.
Because you know, like I open the bed and pull the covers over my head, it would be like, oh. It's dinner time.
Right, you know? Right. And then your sleep is messed up for the night. So very important.
But I noticed, you know, I stayed up a little later, I had a little more trouble falling asleep because that nap actually kind of robbed me a little bit of the ability to fall asleep within, you know, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But
I
did have a complete night's sleep afterwards. But so it was a strategic nap.
Right.
But it's kind of one of those luxuries that you don't want to indulge in too much.
No, don't.
I mean, unless you're like a Spanish person. I mean, they have crazy things like siesta.
Yeah, but that siesta thing happened after a big lunch.
Yeah, but
all the circulation is leaving your head and going to your stomach.
When I was in Madrid, it's like, let's go to dinner. What time do you want to go to dinner? 10:30. It was like, what are you kidding? It's like, sure. That's,
oh my God.
You know, it was like, I was visiting somebody who lived in Madrid. Yeah. It's like, we're go to see flamenco. What time is the show? Oh, we can see the
1 a.m.
You can see the 10:30 show. That's the early show.
That's the early show.
Wasn't there another show? Yeah, 1 a.m.
You know? Oh my goodness. You
know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all the time we have for today's program. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Please send those questions to us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin. It's our pleasure to offer you hopefully information in useful information and entertaining format. And we'll be back next week for another Q&A with Layla.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.